Welcome to Chapter 3 of the Flowbird podcast featuring Fred Latier, who's leading the company's Mobility as a Service program. In this chapter, Fred explains how Flowbird is engaged with the University of Pau in France to help citizens understand the impact of their mobility actions. The project brings together experts in sustainability, health, safety, urban planning, and transportation to develop a scorecard that will show the effect that transport choices have on the environment and wider society. And I guess a key element of MaaS is driving behavioural change. So how is this being achieved?
Of course, the mobility offer is one of the key, but it's not sufficient. It's not because you have more buses that you will leave your car in your garage. So cities need to have more options. And one of them is incentivization. Incentivization can be, of course, a discount price. If you purchase a bus ticket and a museum ticket, you can have 5 or 10% discounts because you use the right mode. But incentivization is not only about price or money. It can be linked to some kind of privilege. For example, if you park your car in the park and ride at the border of the city, you can have a short track ticket to access the stadium. Use the right transport mode and you will have a reward. It is the message. So that's why also it makes sense to include tourism and cultural services in the same app to be able to build a combined offer. Another one is the gamification. Gamification means you incite the citizens to reach some goals, to participate in some challenges. I will just give you some examples. You can earn some points if you use the bus 10 times a week for 1 month, for example, or if you go to work by bike. Then earn point can be converted into something. It can be a discount, it can be a free bus ticket, or something else that the city wants to promote.
Okay, so that sounds like that's a fairly innovative approach to encouraging the takeoff of MaaS, but I see you're also working with the University of Pau in France on a new initiative to help users understand their impact of their travel behavior. So could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, you're right. We have built a partnership with the University of Pau and Pays de la Dour and the CNRS. The CNRS is a French scientific research national center. We work together to build a simple mobility indicator to help citizens to understand the impact of their mobility. We call it the MobiScore. We started with the observation that the indicator used right now is the CO2 emission. Okay, you know that you have saved X gram or kilogram of CO2, but what does it mean really? It's not really intelligible. And moreover, it just takes into account a part of the impact of the mobility. Of course, a big part of the impact, but only a part of it. So we work on a simple indicator with letters A, B, C, D, E on colors from red to green. And this indicator will take into account the environmental impact, of course, but also the economic and the social impact of your mobility. So the scientists are coming from several domains, environmental, sustainability, health, safety, urban planning, etc. This will allow us to define and build the MobiScore on the associated algorithm trusted by the citizens. We are convinced that better, clearer, and trusted information will help the citizen to change their mobility behavior.
So that's a fascinating project that's underway. But could you give me an example of perhaps what you'd hope to see from MobiScore and what the wider benefit might be?
Yeah. So as I say, right now we have an indicator which is linked to the CO2, but we want to push some new indicator like what is the benefits for the health or your health when you practice bike, for example. Well, this one is quite obvious, but also more you are using sustainability transport mode, less will have some pollution in the air. So this means that we'll have less people in the hospital due to asthma, for example. So all these kind of indicator, we have to compute and to know exactly what is the impact. And thanks to the scientist study that has been done, we want to compute everything on a simple indicator.
And just just thinking more about the payments and the enabling technology for MaaS. What's the relationship between MaaS and open payments for transport? And why are these two technologies considered to be something of a dream team for the system?
Yeah, MaaS and open payment, I think it's one of the foundations for livable cities by giving users the convenient experience they want. Open payment simplifies the experience of passengers. You don't want an app or purchase a ticket, fine. Just use your banking card and you have the right to travel. Easy. But MaaS is the ideal open payment companion. MaaS makes the link between the two worlds, the banking world, because open payment is linked to your banking card, and the ticketing world, how you can access some ticketing. For example, with the MaaS platform, we can convert or extend an open payment tap to a right to access something else. For example, unlocking a bike or entering a museum.
So MaaS offers some exciting opportunities. Can you see any barriers to the adoption of MaaS? And if so, how could they be overcome?
We read that standardization is one of the most important barriers. But from my point of view, it's not the main one. It's just a technical one. Of course, standardization can help, can reduce some costs, can speed up the deployment. But it's definitely not a blocker. The main barrier is linked to the governance of the platform. Who is responsible of what? Who is the owner of what? Who manages the end user? Who defines the goal? City, operator, citizens? As you can imagine, it's not simple. This needs a strong political vision on the ability to push it across the different actors, public and private. There are still some legal constraints also that do not help. It's also a topic we work with the University of Pau and the Pays de la Dour to define guidelines on methodology, to identify legal constraints, to help territories, cities to have operational results.
And finally, Fred, where do you think we'll be with MaaS in, say, 5 years' time?
Of course, this depends on many factors, including technology advancement, government regulation, market trends, and user preferences. But I think that we will see more and more private companies use a MaaS platform for the mobility of their employees. 75% of workers use their car to go to work. So collaborations between government, public entities, and private companies will be essential for the continued success of MaaS, building hand-in-hand the mobility of tomorrow. Car use case also will be more and more integrated into MaaS, like autonomous vehicle, electric charging, fleet management, and of course, parking management. Also, something that makes sense for me, it's the usage of the artificial intelligence technology. I think it will be a kind of game changer to improve demand prediction, route optimization, anticipation of disruption in the transport network. It will be possible with artificial intelligence and data to adjust near real time the mobility policies.
So many thanks, Fred, for your insights into mobility as a service. It sounds like there's a lot more to come from Flowbird in terms of innovation in this area. And like you, we look forward to seeing how MaaS schemes develop and evolve in cities and regions around the world over the next few years.
Thanks for the opportunity, Phil.
Don't forget to tune into the next Flowbird podcast for industry insights into the future of public transport. Thanks for listening.